This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
So this week's episode of Raw started with Logan Paul, I Show Speed, and NFL quarterback Patrick Mahomes just walk into the building. Stared off into the distance, thought to myself, damn it, we've arrived in the Phantom Zone. Also, hello my friends, and welcome to Ups and Downs for Monday Night Raw, the only wrestling review you need. Of course, I'm still in America, so I get to watch Monday Night Raw live. Because I am a massive geek, this excites me. I know, somebody should kick me out the window, I'll do it myself. Let's up those down. Judgment Day also went up to these three, and they were like, oh, hi, it's great to see you. When Logan Paul was all, oh, Damian Priest, you will definitely defeat Jey Uso at Backlash because he's ugly. So that's not a nice thing to say at all. We then got into the show properly, though, because Becky Lynch was coming to the ring, which makes sense. She's the brand new women's champion. It's also the same arena where she did get her nose broken 6 years ago, so she's having a whale of a time. I still don't understand why people are so mad that Becky did win the champions last week. I think she's great. She did get the you deserve it chant and she talked about, well, now I've won it, I must go and defend it, when Liv Morgan interrupted, because of course it was the opening promo of Raw and somebody has to interrupt it. I do like this new character she's got because the crowd started to chant Mammy when Rhea Ripley is back. That's going to be an amazing feud. When she said to Bex, actually, you should thank me for that title because I'm the one that took out Rhea, giving you the opportunity to win it. It's true. Morgan is also continuing her revenge tour, which means she has to get everything she wants, so it's not done, including some gummy bears. She didn't say that. Just at this moment during Raw, I thought to myself, it'd be nice if I had some gummy bears. I don't know. Now, Becky did add more to this riddle, because she was like, well, Liv, it is true that I am the champion because you helped get rid of Rhea Ripley, but actually, because of me, you're not the champion because you could have won this title in that battle royal, but you didn't because of me. Or something. This is when I got annoyed because Nia Jax also interrupted. Look, I like Nia. I think her character's really funny and she plays the obnoxious asshole really well. But I'm like, damn it, you got drafted to SmackDown. And I understand that the rules don't come into force until next week, but WWE never obeys them anyway, so it just feels really silly, Billy. To be fair, she did address this and say because it is her last night on Raw, she wants to kick one of these people's asses. When Liv was like, well, you can kick mine, but she didn't say that. She thinks she can beat Nia Jax. I screwed it up. We also got into a bit of a scuffle when Morgan kicked her off the ring apron. Look, I suppose this was okay. I do admit it was a little bit awkward. But it wasn't the worst thing in the world. Like, you wouldn't write home and tell your mum about this. Especially because my mum would ring me up and say, stop sending me letters. We've told you not to contact us anymore. So, you know, there are worse things in the world. So I will give it an up. But was it a bit lackluster? Yes. Yes, it was. When Stephanie McMahon was here to do our first picks of the draft on Raw, kind of feels like she's back. There's also more silly switches too. Because there are no switches. Because Imperium are staying on Raw, apart from Giovanni Vinci, because they tried to kill him. Whereas SmackDown has drafted Jade Cargill, but they can't have drafted Jade Cargill because Jade Cargill was already on SmackDown. Damage Control did get moved to Monday nights, which excites me, because now it doubles down into my idea that I think Dakota Kai could win the Money in the Bank and then say, ha ha, Bayley, I'm coming back for revenge. Whereas Kevin Owens, well, he's staying on Friday. So this one just comes from the fallout of SmackDown and just the fact that this draft has been a little bit drab. Like, nobody really moved anywhere. And I think if you are going to do a draft, you have to have some fun with it, especially because, again, WWE doesn't listen to their own rules anyway. Let's get it down. Gunther must have heard his name as well and decided, man, now I need to go out there and kick somebody's ass. And thankfully that was on the agenda because he was taking on Xavier Woods. Now, he was so super duper mad, he remembered that Woods had suffered a leg injury in the past. So when Xavier kind of exposed this, Gunther just went after it like it was sliced white bread and he was super duper hungry. And at one point he was trying to break it. I mean, at one point he even tied Xavier up into the corner of the ring and he just chopped his knee. And I went through the file of facts in my brain. I was like, nope, I've never seen that before. Then gave Woods a proper slap as well when he went and yelled at Kofi Kingston, which was a terrible mistake, because by the time he went to the top of the turnbuckle and he tried the splash, Xavier got his legs up. But again, it was his knee that he had hurt, so that kind of hurt him too. Now, he must have snuck a Phoenix down in there too, because all of a sudden he had this burst of energy, which didn't work at all, because he found himself in a single-leg Boston crab. And it's also set my brain going nuts, because Gunther is most definitely from Boston. Kingston was freaking out so much by this point, he went and asked for a towel, which somebody had, so I giggled. I was like, who carries a towel around? But the point was, he was so concerned about his friend, he was going to throw it in and submit for him when Xavier Woods on the floor was going, no, I can reach the ropes, which he did do. I thought this was sehr good. The problem was, it just pissed off Gunther, who went straight into the STF and also just elbowed Xavier Woods right in the head. By that point, I think Xavier's body was telling him, stop, would you make it stop already? And he tapped out, Gunther wins. So as ever, a huge shout out to the New Day for always being team players, and what away to light a fire under Gunther's ass. I think he's going to win the King of the Ring and then become a world champion, and it's about damn time. This is good. Gang it up. When Kathy Kelly was interviewing Jey Uso, she asked him if there is any pressure on his shoulders given that he was a first round draft pick. He was like, nah, man, I don't care about that, and I'm only focused on Saturday because I want to become the world champion. This is because Damian Priest is going to catch a yeet down. And Kathy also said, did you hear what Logan Paul said about you at the start of the show? And Jey was like, yeah, I did hear. And I tell you this, it's great that we did sign a Paul brother to WWE, but we got the wrong one. Shots fired. Now, the actual best part of this is what was happening in the background, and I had to be alerted to this, but at one point you saw Liv Morgan walk out of a room. I was like, okay, well, I don't really know what to do with that, but if you kept watching for about 60 seconds, do you know who else left that room to really ask some questions? It was Dominic Mysterio. We lie, we cheat, we steal. So we are gonna need Rhea Ripley back ASAP, because this story is going to be brilliant. And Logan Paul and Speed came out to do some draft picks. I was like, I tell you, I must have done some drugs. How is this reality? Then made sure to show Patrick Mahomes in the crowd, because that was going to tie in when, yes, surprise, surprise, we did have those picks and nobody is going anywhere. Because CM Punk is staying on Raw and Bobby Lashley and Street Profits are staying on SmackDown. I kind of lost it at this point. I just shouted, would somebody move? We then kind of did this too, because we announced that Braun Strowman will be coming to Monday nights. And of course, he is coming back from an injury, so he could have popped up on NXT if he wanted to, and it still would have counted as something new. Finally, we had Tiffany Stratton staying on SmackDown. And given I have said that word, I'm also going to give this a down, because while I am very pumped to have the Monster Among Men back on my WWE television, I just don't think the WWE had any kind of fun with this gimmick. Which again means you have to ask the question, why did we do it? Logan then walked to the ring because he did want to address Jey Uso properly. And he was all like, this guy's such a loser. He can't win a championship by himself. That's why he got kicked out of the bloodline. And I tell you who's better than him, Damian Priest. Now, I think Logan must have forgotten how wrestling works, as he had said Jey Uso's name around about 742 times. So as per wrestling clause 14.8, Jey did come to the ring. And he started telling Logan he was a goober too. And this is when I got pumped. So I was like, my gosh, are we going to do Jey Uso versus Logan Paul and Jey becomes the US champion? Because I want it. Now, for some reason, Paul was offended by Jey Uso, because apparently Logan has been yeeting since 2017. And just when Jey had decided to punch him in the face, it turned out that Logan had some boys, and it was Finn Balor, and it was JD McDonough, so he must have struck a deal with the Judgment Day. And Jey didn't care about any of this, which was dumb, because he forgot about the numbers game, and he did get beaten up, which is when, yes, Logan went to Patrick, who was in the stands, and said, give me your three Super Bowl rings, Patrick Mahomes, because I'm going to use them to punch Jey in the face. And this quarterback, he was like, yeah, man, you take him, I don't care. And of course, as always, when Uso was going to do this, Logan Paul got out of the way, which meant JD McDonough got smashed in the face, as this is his role. And when Jey started laughing about this, finally, Logan Paul and Finn Balor did attack him when we got this. Raw! And Braun Strowman did make his return to Raw. And I always enjoy this entrance song, because if you've never watched wrestling before, you'd be like, why did a scream just play from nowhere? Now, my word, Braun looked like he ate Braun, because he is so jacked, it's absolutely ridiculous. And he killed Finn Balor with this choke slam when he looked at Patrick Mahomes and he was going to attack him too. Because I got a dark side to me. I was like, yeah, you should do it. Now, he was saved by Jey Uso. He was like, calm down, big man. So I swear, to do this segment, we must have just like got a hat and pulled random names out of it. When they land on the floor, like, well, we'll just do it. I did enjoy the fact that as soon as Strowman did come out there, Logan Paul just legged it as he continued to understand his character. And look, this was entertaining. And I'm giving it up. We then cut to the back when R-Truth was thanking Chad Gable, as they had done some kind of business interaction. The Miz then walked in and told us that he had been talking to Adam Pearce, so he had discovered what this deal was. It was Chad Gable had said to R-Truth, if you give us a tag team title match, we will give you two back. So essentially, he had confused him with mathematics. I understand. Truth then won me back instantly, though, because he made me laugh, because he was so worried about the draft. Because what if the awesome Truth gets switched over to the NFL and they have to play in the league? He also thought Patrick Mahomes was that insurance guy. So look, I'm just giving up, Truth and up. Anyone that can make me giggle like this is all right by me. It also ended with the bad guy getting his, because Chad Gable then walked in to yell at The Miz. But after everybody had cleared house, somebody walked in and punched Chad Gable right in the face. And of course it was Sami Zayn. He must have been talking to Liv Morgan. Revenge. This is when Booker T was here and was described as a draft analysis. I don't think he studied for this. But his main reason to appear is because after he had talked about all the moves, all the non-moves, Drew McIntyre appeared behind him and got so angry at Booker T. Because if anyone knows about the old CM Punk, it is Booker T. So why the hell isn't Booker T calling out the old CM Punk? Booker kind of shrugged this off too, and Drew was going to explode. As it turned out, it was just the start of a very bad evening for one McIntyre. It was our Intercontinental title match next, Bronson Reed versus Sami Zayn. Here's the thing. Was this good? Of course it was. I did like the fact that we were doing an IC title match on Raw, you bet your ass. But at no point did I ever think that Bronson Reed was going to win. So if we are going to do this forward, I just think we have to add a little bit of jeopardy to the pot. I'm just saying. Reed was able to murk Sami Zayn with this chokeslam Uranagi thing though, and smash him with a set-out powerbomb for a 1-2. When he started to get frustrated, I was like, I get it, Bronson. You've been told you're not allowed to win. Bronson then took Sam to the outside where he continued to beat him up. When they got back in the ring, from nowhere, Zayn hit him with the Aluva kick. And I thought, oh, that's going to be 1-2-3. And just as we were going to find out, of course, who ran down to give him a German suplex, it was none other than Herr Chad Gable. So I guess in many ways, we did protect Bronson Reed, which was probably the right thing to do. And he locked on the ankle lock onto Sami Zayn. And as soon as Zayn was down on the floor, Bronson just came off the top rope with the tsunami. I was like, man, you couldn't have whooped his butt anymore. My actual favourite part, though, was right after this, because Bronson Reed then laid out Chad Gable too, because of course he would. He was like, you little schmerl, you just took away my opportunity. So this did put a smile on my face, although I hope we don't do a triple threat match, just because it will be the exact same storyline that we're doing on SmackDown with Bayley. But in terms of setting things up for the future, giving it up.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Let me make sure we did a quick video for Kiana James, which is important because we have to get these NXT people over. Given that we had done that, It was back to the draft. JBL was helping out again, so he must love WWE 2K's My GM mode, and he has with Ron Simmons. Look, just calm down, I'll tell you now, don't worry. Before they did leave, Ron Simmons said, damn. So everything is okay with the world. Now, the LWO did go to Raw, which is a good thing, although once again I was chuckling, because it means Rey Mysterio is now on the same brand with his son. I'm pretty sure he ran away to SmackDown to get away with it, which of course meant that Legado del Fantasma are on SmackDown, and this one I'm totally fine with. The feud is totally done. That's been going on since I had hair. Raw then got Drew McIntyre, which of course is not a change, whereas Shinsuke Nakamura is going to Fridays. And you and I both know the answer to this. That should be a big deal. When it comes to Shinsuke, it's just not. So that's another down. I've already explained why. They just aren't fun. I really did want to have some fun. I am Cyndi Lauper. We then did get the sound of the sword, though, and I got instantly excited because it meant Drew McIntyre was coming to the ring, and he had something to say. Because he totally thought the APA must be drunk, because why the hell is Drew McIntyre being drafted in the third round? And I tell you who he blames, CM Punk. The fans then started chanting for CM Punk, and Drew was like, oh yeah, you may as well chant his name, because he's nothing but a corporate kiss-ass, although he has finally achieved something since he has come back to WWE. Because Drew has a properly injured elbow, but unlike CM, he doesn't sit at home and whine about it, he comes to work. Thing is, this is when CM Punk's music hit, and this place went totally crazy. But as it turned out, Punk could technically come to his job, but he was sitting in a skybox. Punk then called Drew a little bitch, and that annoyed McIntyre so much, he stormed off to go find him, I suppose, in his seating area. And look, we'll get back to this later, but as ever, it's the best thing on Raw. I totally believe that these two hate each other. Maybe they do. We then saw the Alpha Academy getting ready because Maxxine Dupri was about to have a match when Chad Gable walked in. This man is horrible. Because while Maxxine was so happy that she got two eliminations last week, Chad just went, oh yeah, well show me what title you get for having two eliminations. When he turned to Otis and Tozawa, just like, you're a bunch of losers, you better win tonight or else. Seriously though, Gable was so good here, he makes for a terrific asshole. And I cannot wait to see this character play out. We then had a quick interview with Bron Breakker as well, who's all like, yes, I am the absolute best person to be in this draft. When Sheamus got right in his face, so Bron got right in his face, I was like, damn it, they should fight. Turned out that Sheamus was just having a laugh because he sees Bron as a younger version of himself. And I was a bit like, well, yeah, I guess that is true. Way less ginger and way less Irish. Sheamus then got distracted because Drew McIntyre went storming past and Bron didn't seem to enjoy any of this. So I really hope we do a variation of all these matches down the line. That's the kind of shib I need to see. When poor Maxxine had all the pressure on her shoulders because she did indeed have a match with Candice LeRae, and even though she went out there with Ivy Nile, obviously Indy Hartwell was in the opposite corner. Now Maxxine was flying around the place and hit her reverse caterpillar and even applied the ankle lock, and this was going perfectly well until, of course, Ivy Nile got attacked by Indy. Like every single professional wrestler on the planet, Maxxine forgot she was in a match. Candice stomped her head into the mat and she got the 1-2-3. This is why I got annoyed at the commentators. They were like, oh, Maxxine Dupri shouldn't have been distracted by this. I was like, damn it, that is every single sports entertainer on the planet. It did mean Dupri got screwed. I know this wasn't the best thing ever, but I tell you what I like about Maxxine. She is so clearly putting in the work and she so clearly wants to get better. And I really like that. It resonates with me. So I don't care what you think. I don't care if you do get mad. I am giving it up. Go Maxxine. Then got back to the LWO draft pick because everybody had a great question, which was, well, wait a minute, Carlito has gone with these guys and he attacked Dragon Lee, so how does that work? Now, Ray did mention this and say, man, we need to figure this out, but I can tell you this, he's not in the group anymore and we shall get our revenge, but he must still be in the group because again, he came across in the draft pick. This is when Dominic walked in and said, oh great, my deadbeat dad is back. Don't forget the Judgment Day runs Raw. Ray had a great line. He was like, how can you even say that? Judgment Day haven't been drafted yet. Idiot. Ray then insulted Dom Dom's moustache as he did walk off. Though I tell you this, the rest of the LWO then started to bully Dominic, and it got so horrible, I actually had sympathy for him. That didn't work out well at all. Don't forget though, he is likely cheating on Rhea Ripley with Liv Morgan, so he deserves nothing. When it turned out that Drew had found the skybox that CM Punk was sitting in, but sadly for him, Punk was no longer there, and it was just a signed 8x10, when of course, CM Punk's entrance music hit. It was a ruse. And Drew, my word, he was pissed. It just kept getting better and better though, because Punk got a mic and said, hey Drew, I'm gonna make sure this segment is over faster than you, a world champion at WrestleMania 40, which means he only has 5 minutes and 42 seconds, and he even told Pat McAfee to time it. Because Punk knows that he has McIntyre's attention, he also loves the fact that he did hurt his elbow, because let's not forget, you were praying for me to get injured, so you're an absolute piece of crap. He also reminded Drew that he did get drafted before him, and that's nice and simple maths. CM Punk is a bigger deal than the Scottish Warrior.
and he's going to have to deal with it.
Punk then called McIntyre a loser and said as soon as he is cleared, he will make his life a living hell. He wasn't wrong here. He wrapped up in a good 2 minutes. So seriously, when you do have this kind of connection, anything will work, and they are just smacking it out of the park every single week, and I cannot wait until they are cleared because I need this match. It is getting a massive up. Teddy Long's music then played from nowhere, so I was laughing again because I am an absolute idiot, and he was with Alundra Blaze. Draft time. And Judgment Day were first, so Rey Mysterio looks like an idiot now because he was completely wrong. Yes, Naomi is staying on SmackDown. This episode of Raw should have been sponsored by hashtag stay. Thankfully, Ilya Dragunov then got moved on to Raw, and this was awesome because he looked so happy down in the Performance Center. And we had Chelsea Green and Piper Niven going to SmackDown. And that was quite cute too. Because, of course, Adam Pearce was elated about it. Thing is, though, it does mean that Dragunov is now on the same brand as Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, and Gunther. Flub me, I need those in my life. For that reason alone, up. Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax was next. We did get told this earlier. For the third time this evening, though, this was just the bigger wrestler absolutely thwomping the little wrestler because she was throwing Liv Morgan around until she went for the Annihilator, but Liv got out the way. Makes sense. It's also when I'm like, oh, I know why these two are fighting, because they both have finishing name moves that are puns. For no reason, Tiffany Stratton was then shown watching this from the front row, and she was in her wrestling gear. When we cut to the commercial, when we came back, Nia Jax was just strangling Liv Morgan. I was like, why not? Morgan soon smashed Nia's head into Team of the Turnbuckle, but that's when Jax came back with a Samoan drop. Calm down, she is Samoan. When she went for Annihilator number two, she failed miserably again when Liv Morgan hit her with the Bomb of Power. She was getting her ass kicked. This is when Naomi must have taken a page out of Liv Morgan's book, though, because she just ran in to attack Tiffany Stratton because she watched Revenge, and you can already see what's going to happen here. They fought to ringside, and Nia Jax could not handle this what's happening. She booted Naomi to the floor. When she turned around, she got hit with the Oblivion. 1, 2, 3. I'm just going to tell you this. I thought it was a bit silly. Because firstly, we did this kind of ending a lot on Raw. There were so many people running around. And actually, when you do break it down like D-Generation X, who did this serve? Even the commentators were like, well, Liv Morgan kind of fluked that one. She had a lot of help. So I just thought it was a little bit long. And of course, the crowd went quiet for this because they see Liv Morgan as a bad guy. And they see Nia Jax as a bad guy. So they didn't know who to cheer. So this was obviously to give Liv Morgan a win. But doesn't feel like she has any extra momentum. That's a down. We then had another Booker T interview, which is interesting. I was like, maybe Drew McIntyre is going to kill him. When we cut to Adam Pearce, he was about to do the last of the draft picks. And yes, he was obviously very happy because Chelsea is out of his hair. Well, off his head anyway. For all this too, the Dudleys are out to do some draft picks of their own. And they did do the WhatsApp. Don't forget, that was a commercial from 1999. Anyway, Raw got the New Day because nobody is allowed to change brands in this draft, which was then proved true too, because Pretty Deadly are staying on SmackDown. I think when Devon Dudley said that, he did it in a British accent. Nice try. Bubba then said somebody from NXT was coming to Raw, and it was Lyra Valkyria, and this was an absolute moment, because quite clearly she did not know, and she was totally stunned by this, and it was super duper good because the emotion was real. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell are also going to SmackDown, so they will go to Friday nights and make people theirs life a living hell. But listen, it's an up just for Lyra. You gotta go check it out. It's the best face ever. I think they get a bit worried too, because it was time for our tag team title match. Because of course I wanted Alpha Academy to win, because otherwise Chad Gable was going to kill them. But I didn't want the Awesome Truth to lose, because as you know, I'm in love with our Truth. So what am I meant to do? Miz felt the same as he totally ruined Tozawa, but actually that allowed Otis to hit the World's Strongest Slam and the Caterpillar. That's when he tagged Tozawa back in, who jumped off the top rope, and he totally missed. The thing is though, this is when Truth slapped the Miz on the back and he got the tag, when they hit their finish, and they just won. Now look, they did knock Otis to the outside, but it was a bit like, man, that was anticlimactic. Like a lot of stuff on this Raw though, it wasn't bad either. It was kind of somewhere in the middle. So I am a positive Pete show, I am gonna give it an up. Much like other things we have discussed, I kind of feel like the Miz and Truth need a proper feud very, very soon. The Judgment Day were then sad because they couldn't figure out why it took to round pick number 4 to draft them. But Damian Priest told them, I tell you why, you guys suck and you keep losing. It's kind of right. JD McDonagh also had this massive fake bruise on his face, like an alien was about to pop out of his head. But the real key with this is Damian said, listen, stick to the plan. I don't need you to beat Jey Uso. As we keep saying, he is not long for the Judgment Day. Liv Morgan was then walking backstage, and even though we'd seen her 97 times on Raw, she still got a name template at the bottom. So once again, I was laughing. And she bumped into Becky Lynch, and Becky Lynch was like, oh, well done, Liv. Where Damage Control also surround Becky, and they were like, ugh, I guess I'll see you on Monday nights. And Becky said, you will. And that was it. I don't know why we did that. It was our final draft picks after this, so we did have Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce. And I presume this was going to be the big guns. It wasn't. Because the final Testament are going to Raw, whereas DIY are going to SmackDown, so at least that is a change, and we've switched the team. Bronson Reed is staying on Monday too, when we learned that an NXT person was going to SmackDown, and this was another delight, because it was Blair Davenport, and she too just looked totally flabbergasted by this. When Shawn Michaels walked in and gave her a hat. I don't know why it makes her laugh. It was just like, oh my gosh, here's this amazing thing. Would you like a prize? Still though, again, it is a massive up because these things are so cool, and that's what the draft should always be about now. Don't tell NXT call-ups and surprise them. Which did indeed bring us to the main event, which was Jey Uso, Ricochet, and Andrade taking on the Judgment Day. Once again, I was like, why not? But Damian Priest got held over Al in the announce table early on after JD McDonough had screwed up, so Damian's not gonna like that. When we went to commercial, when we came back, like earlier, Damian was just strangling Ricochet. So I guess we're going to have to make up what happened, especially because Michael Cole and Pat McAfee just wanted to talk about the fact that Michael Cole's iWatch almost got broken. Don't get mad at me, that's what they said. This one's nice and easy though, because I bet the good guys were just looking at JD McDonough's bruise going, there's no way that thing can be real, when they realized they had been distracted and they got smacked. That'll do. McDonough then screwed up again, because when he got in there, he got hit with the recall straight away, which allowed Ricochet to get the hot tag to Jey Uso. So you know the deal, he ran wild. He made sure to smash everyone too until Finn Balor was down. This is when Damian got sick of it. He took out the pack when he physically grabbed Balor, dragged him over to the corner, and tagged himself in. It's like, my word, you're cool. He was also going to give us a preview of Backlash because he's going to hit Jey Uso with the razor's edge. But Jey got out of that. He hit the Samoan drop and everybody calmed down because he is Samoan. When he went for the splash, you already know what happened. Dominic Mysterio was here and he cast distraction. This Raw really was distraction crazy. And while McDonough did use this to stop Jey, he then screwed up Damian Priest's choke slam, so he wasn't able to finish off. When somehow Finn Balor tagged himself in, and Jey Uso's like, listen, you guys are all over the place. He hit the big splash onto Finn, and he got the three. So McDonough is definitely going to be killed, and obviously the story here was somebody shouting, can Jey Uso win at the weekend? And of course the answer is no, which is why he was victorious here. And I'm just going to repeat what I said earlier. This was just another okay match on a very okay Raw. It kind of feel like we were filling time. But fine is, well, fine, so I shall give it an up, and I'll give it up to Raw overall. I think I am being a little bit biased right now because I do enjoy watching it live, just like a novelty for me, because obviously I'm usually up at 3 a.m. in the morning. So remember that as I do tell you, if you're going to give it a number, you've put it right in the middle, sort of just average. Now make sure to leave me a comment below and let me know what you thought about last night's episode of Raw. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Click the video on the screen, which will be ups and downs for SmackDown, which I also got to watch live. I have to keep saying this. It's really not a big deal. You would think I was born in 1924. I wasn't. I was but a sperm then. Shouldn't have said that. Also, not true. Goodbye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.